1 point. It was predicted that he would win by double digits. El Sayed's campaign says Stevens has called to concede the race. In a statement, Stevens says that she will back El Sayed's candidacy. This has been an SRN News special report.
We want to hold on to the problem. Listen, peace is Jesus in us, by Jesus, through his power, providing his peace that the world cannot provide. So may I just simply do a little parenthetical footnote? If you've never said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, you do not have that in you through the Lord Jesus Christ.
For more expository preaching from Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, tune in weeknights at 9 and Saturday mornings at 9 on The Truth.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
And again, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. We're talking about an issue that I believe we need to be concerned about, especially as we enter into this election season. Right here in our own state, the state of Florida. In just a few days, we will have our primary election. We've got 11 people running for governor in the state of Florida. There's about 3 of them that has a partial qualification, a couple of them that have major qualification. We're going to talk about that on another show, where we'll talk about the different candidates and each one, what each one has said about each of the event, each of the things that we should be concerned about. We're putting together kind of a sheet that will show what each candidate says about Islam, LGBTQ, porn in the textbooks in the classroom, invasion of Islam coming into our state, et cetera, and how each one is positioned on that. And the ones that have already said open and publicly that they'll take a stand to protect us in the state of Florida from that. We need to be aware of these things because most of the time, when you see these Madison Avenue slick-produced television ads, it doesn't give you any insight as to what that candidate can do, can't do, other than the fact he's got enough money to pay for high-powered ads. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues today, will this election be stolen? We're talking about the election fraud. In the past, we're talking about the Islamics that's running for office. We're talking about the socialist, Marxist, communist running for office and how we stand on it. I'm looking at an article that's well-stated and succinctly written from Liberty Counsel ACLJ. Said, we're headed for a disaster if we do not do something now. The radical left is working overtime to undermine the integrity of our election system. New Jersey was just caught with thousands of illegally registered non-citizens. 400 of them that we know of actually voted, or that claim is what they said was just a glitch. The California Attorney General was just caught changing the voter ID ballot measure to make it look like it would block citizens from voting, a complete lie. A Maryland locality is actually allowing non-citizens to vote and refusing to come clean about it. We filed a lawsuit just recently for that. This is ACLJ, Jay Sekulow, Liberty Counsel. Ladies and gentlemen, that's succinctly stated, but that's a broad brush of what we literally see taking place today. I believe it should behoove us as Christians to pray, seek God's face, ask God to heal our land. And that healing at this juncture, ladies and gentlemen, starts with the moral ethical values in our nation. Our moral ethical values in our nation will go no higher on the scale than we see in our elected leaders and in the pastors in the pulpits. Historians will show you that no nation will ever rise above the spiritual and political leadership in the nation, spiritually, morally, and ethically. And we're at a pretty low level when you look at the facts today, and I believe it deserves our prayer to ask for intervention. But ladies and gentlemen, let me go back to a couple of statements before we take our next caller. Joe Biden supposedly won the election in 2020 with 81 million votes. Not so. Did not happen. Some 65 suits, 62. One article says 65. Another says 67. Let's just say around 65 suits were filed in the court. And as I said earlier, the voters challenging the vote and the voters, and simply none of them were heard in the courtrooms. They were all dismissed, that you don't have standing, did not get into the courtroom at all. Trump and his orbit were sued as a result of taking a stand questioning that. Yet today, ladies and gentlemen, we're finding more and more real evidence, real proof that the findings were factual, that the election was stolen, was proof of illegals voting, was proof of dead Democrats. It's interesting that the one that talked about the hundreds and hundreds of dead people voting, they were all registered as Democrats. So I call them dead Democrats that were voting. The false mail-in ballots, as I said, one whistleblower now is saying that 1.5 million ballots were printed and shipped in from China to be used in the election. So it deserves our prayer. If that happened in 2020, if it happened, and it did, openly known and recognized behind the scenes with the Marxist Communist Democrats, what would they do? They've already claimed that they're going, in fact, back in March of this year, the Democratic Party already claimed that they had hundreds of attorneys already ready to spread out at every voting precinct in America to challenge anything that would help the Democratic Party. You see, it's not a matter of right and wrong. It's not a matter of something that happened illegally. It's a matter of it being claimed illegal or claimed something took place. They can file suit to stop the process, to slow down the process, to challenge the ballots. And that's what, listen, I can tell you, I'm not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet, as Amos said in the little book of Amos. But I'm here to tell you, we're going to witness that at election time, where the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party and the leadership therein, with legal minds out there in the field, will challenge everything that will slow down the process, challenge the conservative or Republican votes, and try to get them tossed out, thrown out, to steal the election. I believe Lily's on the line. Lily, go over to question or comment, please.
Yes, thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood, and may God continue to bless your effort to wake up the nation out of the apathy that we are in. I've long felt that America over the years have been toying with a monster and playing with it. And to, at this point, I think it is full grown, fully developed, and ready to devour us. And it's under the intervention of God that we are here still at this time, struggling. And last election, when God raised up Donald Trump, I thought it was a definite intervention by God, and we don't know if it's the last. But America is on the verge. We are on the verge because the blame is at the church, the believers. Over the years, the church has been failing the nation. Our forefathers were committed to Judeo-Christian values, the biblical values, yes. And gradually over the years, we have moved away. The church has been moving away. The church has been failing the nation. So America is at the verge. And there are some people who think that we are where we are now, but it's not the first. It happened over, and we make a comeback. But I think we are at the final at this time. We are playing with evil. The Communist Party that has been lying quietly in the nation, it has been here. We see before our eyes, we realize now that it has swallowed up the Democrat Party. So we are well on our way. One fan, I'm thinking of places like California and the other country, states like California. It is not that they didn't try to change the leadership, but we should understand, and I think we well know, that one of the main things the enemy do when they're seeking control, they take away the ability to change your leadership. And that, I think that has taken place gradually in some of the states, California, probably New York, and others, you know them, that are a blue state, have the ability to change their leadership has been taken away from them, and we see it almost for the nation, where the intervention, as we say, with Biden not doing anything, got more votes than Obama had and others. So we know it is totally fake. And this is what we're moving into now, where we will not be able to change our leadership because of so-called election, fixed elections. Mm-hmm. You've lost the ability.
Lily.
So I think the church didn't wake up as we should wake up under Donald Trump's leadership. And God has not been glorified with our leaders opening their mouth and speaking swearing expressions and things like that. The fear of God is not in the nation, and the nation is in big trouble.
Lily, you're exactly right, and I'm thankful for your statements, because what we're witnessing today is the fruition, the fruit, end result of the past 50 to 60 years, where pastors have been told that you cannot say anything about politics from the pulpit. It was the 501c3 rule and regulation, 1958, with Lyndon Baines Johnson as a senator, added a rider to a transportation bill to try to tie the hands of religious people. Lyndon Baines Johnson was afraid that Jack Kennedy would become president, and Jack Kennedy, as a Catholic, then Lyndon Baines Johnson was saying that the Catholics would rule America if he's elected. So he got that rider on the transportation bill put in to quench the mouths of preachers. And for years and years and years, it was highly successful. There's not been a pastor that's been tried or church tried or convicted for doing that since that went into effect. Most pastors today will tell you, and they'll tell their congregations, we can't talk about politics. That's against the law. No, it's not. At March of 2017, one of the first things that Donald J. Trump did by executive order in his first leadership role, one of the first things he did by executive order was cancel the 501c3 rule out of the IRS that says you can't talk about politics from the pulpit. That is simply a misnomer. Even before that was canceled by Trump's executive order, it was still not something that would hold scrutiny under the spotlight of our Bill of Rights and our constitutional liberties. So as a result of that, we have churches today, Christians today, in fact, I'd be willing to go so far, Lily is saying, we have right here in our city, multitudes in our churches, different denominations, have no earthly idea who the candidates are, no idea why we're voting, and many of them, if not most, will not even go out to cast a ballot on election day or before. This is where we stand. This is the reason America is plummeting into the quagmire of deception, and this is the reason we're plummeting into the grips of Islamic jihadists and the socialist Marxist communists, because we've not awakened. As one called it, we're sleepwalking into the future where we'll be taking control. One writer says this, and I'll let you go then, Lily. This is not your parents' or your grandparents' Democratic Party. It will take a radical left turn after the Michigan primary, political insiders say. And we've just witnessed some of the primaries. We just witnessed, well, El Sayed won the election, and he, at the speech that he gave after the supposed win, less than 1 point win in the primary, in his part of his speech, he jumped into Arabic and was praising Allah for giving him the victory. Now, that tells you where we are, where we have someone in a political race to represent all Americans that is absolutely a jihadist incognito that has run for office and has won the primary. We need to pray that the Republican, so-called conservative, that's running against him on November the 3rd, pray that he will win the election. If not, if El Sayed wins the general election, we can count it goodbye, Katie barred the door for American elections. That's one of the threshold test votes right there. And so it's my prayer that we'll wake up, Lily. Thank you so much for your call, and we need to keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, will this election be stolen? What's some of the ramifications from the 2020 election? What do you think? Was it stolen? Was it whose fault was it? Who was the primary mover and shaker that caused that to take place? I find it interesting to see some of the things that's coming out. Headline I'm looking at, five highlights from Trump's address to the nation. China threat to election voters and voter fraud. That's the headline dated July the 16th of this year. President Donald Trump opened the primetime address from the White House with a blunt warning about election integrity. If there can be no trust, there can be no greatness. We still have a major challenge that must be urgently addressed because no country can be great without fair and honest elections, he said. Every American deserves to know that when they cast their vote, that vote will be counted accurately in a system that is secure enough that cheating and interference are not just difficult but virtually impossible. Further, the last paragraph in this article, unfortunately, the system that we have totally failed catastrophically. It falls short of the standard. He said Trump announced that he was immediately declassifying and releasing critical intelligence, revealing shocking vulnerabilities in our election infrastructure. He identified the evidence in the intelligence as illustrating vulnerabilities to hacking the system, exploiting the system from foreign influences, end quote. Lamenting that this vital information has for many years been covered up, it's been hidden. Trump detailed how the newly released documents have been gathered by the White House Government Transparency Task Force, as well as the staff of the President's Intelligence Advisory Board and leaders of the intelligence agencies. He invited the American people to view the documents online at thewhitehouse.gov. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't have to question the 2020 election anymore, in my opinion. We don't have to wonder, was it stolen? We know it was. We know how it was stolen. We know now basically who stole the election. It was a fraudulent election. Just, if I can just do a little footnote, not only the Biden election was fraudulent, but you go back and look at the history of the Barack Hussein Obama election, a phony false birth certificate, one that was put in place, an individual candidate put in place by fraud and the stolen election, and by promulgating false identification, false biographical information of a person that was a community organizer at best. And so they discovered then, the movers and shakers on the left, discovered then that they could steal an election and get by with it. That's what caused it to be so pushed so heavily then after Trump went in 2016 when they didn't steal enough votes, and so they went overboard with 2020. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll read this. Democrat New Jersey governor says thousands of non-citizens discovered on the voter rolls. But ladies and gentlemen, there's some good news to report. We have some Supreme Court rulings, some appeals court rulings that's making wise decisions. Here's one that I want to highlight. Court allows state to protect children from deviant adult live performances. This article is dated August the 4th. The performers often bill themselves as artists and claim their art is protected by the Constitution. But an appeal court on the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals says that it's fine for a state to adopt a law that protects children from such adult live performances. The issue is the obscene, lewd, and sexual content often incorporated in the drag queen shows, which often take place in venues to which children have been given access. No more in the state of Florida. Limiting access to those shows is a straightforward regulation of obscenity, declared Judge Andrew Brashear, authoring the majority opinion in a dispute over Florida's Protection of Children Act. You remember in 2023, the Protection of Children Act was passed, and all of a sudden, the loose-lax, lost liberals, the immoral, ungodly, unholy left, filed suit, has been working its way through the courts. And now the court says, it's the appeals court that says, U.S. Court of Appeals, the 11th Circuit, just said, no, no, no. A state, i.e. the state of Florida, can make rules, regulations, guidelines, and pass laws that says that you cannot take a child to a strip show or a porn show as has been done. This came about with what was called the Taco Bell drag show. An 8-5 panel ruling restored the law by vacating a statewide injunction issued by a lower court, and the case now goes back down to the preceding consent courts on the circuit division. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a massive article, but it says the case began in 2023 when a restaurant by the name of Hamburger Mary's, which routinely holds such lewd events, sued the state over the cancellation of the family-friendly drag show. The law bans children in shows that depict nudity, sexuality, lewd conduct, etc., etc. The Constitution protects free speech, but it does not protect obscenity, this writer says. Ladies and gentlemen, one other good news. President Donald J. Trump and his Department of Justice, this headline says, goes to bat for those who want to bring their guns to church. Now, let's pause for a moment. Listen, in the state of Florida and many states across the nation, there's the right to carry. There's the right to have concealed carry, the right to have open carry, constitutional carry. Anything that's less than that, ladies and gentlemen, is an infringement on the Second Amendment. And the Second Amendment is not to be infringed upon. What does the word infringe mean? It means anything that would overshadow, that would change, modify, modulate, or in any way reduce the Second Amendment's authority and the ability of we the people as citizens. I'm a constitutional carry. I'm a, if you please, Second Amendment advocate. I believe that we need to have that opportunity. And just recently, there was a constitutional ruling that was made that state after state after state could not say, well, you can carry in this state, but you can't carry in this state. You can carry... There was the ruling that was made, don't have it before me, but the ruling that was made that if you have the right to carry, you have a constitutional carry. If you are a citizen that's old enough to carry, then you can carry. And they can't say you can't go in this building, you can't go in this building, can't go in this. And yet in some states, like in the state of Georgia up until recently, you couldn't carry your weapon legally into a church. This is the reason we've had across the nation so many churches that have been shot up, as I call it, where there's been the invaders come in and start shooting, shoot three or four, five, six, or a dozen people, because they know that in churches and schools, they're generally those that have the signs up, no guns allowed, etc., etc. This article reads, Trump's DOJ goes to bat for those who want to bring their guns to church. Sends a warning to the blue states over an ordinance banning the carry of firearms in the houses of worship. A liberal stronghold near the nation's capital received a legal warning shot from the Justice Department Thursday regarding an ordinance banning the carry of firearms in the house of worship. Democratic Montgomery County, Maryland Executive Eric Eldredge signed the bill 23-26 into law Monday, updating the county's ordinance in response to the April 28th ruling by the state Supreme Court that struck down some of the county's previous legislative provisions regarding firearms. Attorney General for our Civil Rights, Harmet Dillon, posted a letter sent to the Washington, D.C. area county. Thursday, warning that the provisions barring firearms from places of worship, even those that granted permission for people to carry firearms, run afoul of the Second Amendment. Now, let me pause. There's another paragraph before we stop the reading of this three-page article. But let me just simply pause to say, we've got a president that's protecting our religious liberties, our freedom of speech, our right under the Fourth Amendment not to have search and seizure without a warrant. He's protecting our Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. Now, ladies and gentlemen, any nation, any state, any organization, any group, any socialist, Marxist, communist, dictatorial form of government, any Islamic jihadist form of government will disarm the people. Will cancel your free speech, will cancel the right to worship, will cancel the right to have a Bible or a flag or a prayer or a cross. And we've been witnessing willy-nilly across the nation some of the different leadership that's wanted to do that, wanted to take away the rights to keep and bear arms, take away the right to self-defense. This article further says, history teaches us that the houses of worship are vulnerable to armed attacks and congregants are particularly in need of the ability to defend themselves. Deputy Assistant Attorney General for Civil Rights case wrote in Thursday, letter emailed to the top county officials, by disarming religious congregants during worship, Montgomery County infringes on such congregants' ability to defend themselves against any attacks. Ladies and gentlemen, this article is valuable for us to understand. This is the reason I say, as we vet the candidates, we need to vet the candidates, ladies and gentlemen. How do you stand on the Second Amendment right? What are you going to do to protect your city, your state, our nation from the Islamic jihadist invaders? How do you stand on the LGBTQ sodomite agenda? I interviewed one of our governor candidates for the state of Florida recently on this broadcast. Right out of the chute, he says, I will prevent the Sharia law from taking place in the state of Florida. That is the Quran law. That is Islamic jihadist law. I will stand against the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. I will stand against porn in the classroom textbooks. And he goes on and on and on. He openly professed his faith in Jesus Christ. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not saying that he was a perfect candidate, but I'm saying to you in our closing statements today, we need to vet the candidates based on their morals, ethics, and values. What do they believe about the Bible? They don't have to be a professing Christian. That's wonderful if they are, but they need to take a stand on what preserves and protects our foundation. Psalms 11:3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And ladies and gentlemen, the righteous hands will be tied if we do not have the moral, ethical, biblical foundations that our founding fathers gave us when they were willing to sign the dotted line and put their lives on the line. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Look forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Trusted voices with solid teaching and talk. This is The Truth, 91.